Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
You Cannot Say, written by Jay Hatter, and the singer, music writer is Shall Even Shy. That's a poem he wrote and she put to music, and we've all grown very fond of it. And this is Deborah Lee. You are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group that hangs at allpoetry.com, and it's free to join. If you are already a member or you happen to join, hit the group tabs and you'll find us there under A Team of Voices. Knock on the door and I'll see you there. If you'd like to call and participate, you can call at 1-646-668-2837. And if you're in earshot, the link to the show is on the board in the chat room at A Team of Voices. I'm here tonight with my co-host and my big brother, Jay Hatter.
I'm muted. I do.
The writer of the aforementioned song. And we got a whole bunch of people on the line, and I'm just going to start calling them out in the order of appearance. One beat me to the studio. Hello, Sky. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you are here. And my sweet, Welcome to the show.
Uh-huh.
And the dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay, from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio, and the team of voices. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hello.
And just so happens that the fourth member of the board for A Team of Voices, along with me and Heather and Sweet, is AP, and he's here as well. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hi, Dad. Hello.
So glad everyone's here, and we got a lot going on, so okay, cool. I was just going to ask, okay, I got my answers, so I'm just going to start lining them up so that everyone can take care of business. So, my sweet, I'm going to come directly to you, and then I'm going to have Sky and Stephen and Kay read. So let me get yours and bring it to the, here's the board. Okay. So without further ado, my dear, take us away.
Thank you. And I apologize, I'm getting cold or something. This is a Christmas 7 clouds float in Battleship Gray Sky. Sitting cashmere snowfall, six-sided chameleon, even snowflakes that cover the ground. He caught the scent of her vanilla on his collar, like a moose trek through the pasture to the barn, listening to the sound of crunching snow beneath his feet. A world thrust in chantilly race of this unkept soil. Mother of pearl orbs shimmered in iced prison prisons, nestled in the beds of winter's trees, the evergreen. The frame prison stained the barn floated into view. He heard the urgent neigh from the stall of a chestnut mare. As the wind invaded the barn, the stallion cursed and the dog smiled. Champagne met his eyes and gave one final push. The hole was filling, body of smoke and ebony, eyes of gray, wrinkled and ready to walk. As the snow falls, he settles into the stall. Calm the bottom. Merry Christmas to y'all. And home.
Oh. I'm liking this that you've been bringing to things, sweet. A Christmas Baby. Beautiful title. Let me see. A world dressed in Chantilly lace, erased, unkempt soil. Mother of pearl orbs shimmered in ice prison prisms, nestled in the beds of winter's tree, the evergreen. I love the gorgeousness of that stanza there. I like champagne met his eyes and gave one final push. Her foal was born, body of smoke and ebony, eyes of gray, wrinkled and ready to walk. As the snow falls, he settles into his stall to calm the barn. That was totally beautiful, sweet. I love that you took us inside that barn and gave us gorgeous descriptions of the trees and the ice and the beautiful view all around. And I think that this is a gorgeous Christmas tale. And I appreciate it, and I hope you feel better. And let me get you some comments. Hatter, you want to comment for Sweet?
What I heard is beautifully done. My phone is closed. I don't know what happened.
Uh-oh. Okay, no problem. How about if I get a comment from AP, please?
Yeah, it's beautifully, it's a beautiful scene. The clouds are feathery, the battleship grey skies. It's cashmere snowfall. It's quite beautifully described, and the scene is quite lovely. But it's even more than that. It's quite beautifully described, and I think it's a beautiful little Christmas tale. Sweet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about Kay?
Yeah, I like the way this reads because it definitely is a lovely look that has the tone, as I see it, of baby Jesus being born. It goes in, it definitely reads beautifully and adds in a love and effect that's gentle, kind, building on the foundations of his birth. It's an awesome share. You did great.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. How about you, Stephen?
Well, I didn't see the the birth of Jesus, but I heard Elvis, you know, on a cold and gray country morning, a little baby horse is born in the barn.
In the barn.
I thought that the descriptions were just wonderful in this, and it's a great Christmas poem, sweet. Awesome. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Awesome comments. And Sky, can you, I don't see yours, can you put yours on and comment? Oh, I found it. I'll put yours on while you comment for Sweet, please.
Yes, I thought this was an excellent piece and wonderful description. The way the frame, the crimson stain, that the barn exploded into view, and I really loved this picture, so you definitely brought it to life with that. And then, of course, the chestnut mare, which isn't even in the photos. That's what I like about it. When you start pulling in images of these horses that can't be seen, but perhaps they're in the background somewhere. And I think that level of creativity is such a brilliant thing to bring to poetry, to look beyond the picture and to really capture it and bring it to life. Really well done.
And hold your thought for 1 second, please, Sky. Sweet, would you like to push your show before you go?
Yeah, Thursday night we're continuing open poetry as we go into the holiday season and enjoy yourself, come around, open fire, just lay down what you got and whatever your thoughts are and just like you've been having fun over at Sweet Discussion. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. So come on by. Have a poem.
Awesome. And like I said, I hope you feel better. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. I've got, I'll be commenting about your poems on my bookmark today. And Deb, I cheated and put one of the poems already on the front page for tonight. So just so that you know.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. What about the front page?
I already put one of the poems in tonight on the front page because it was about worth it. Hasn't even read
it. Oh, wow. Awesome. Glad to hear it.
All right.
And I'm glad you're having fun doing it. Now feel better.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks,
Not everybody. Sweet.
Love and respect.
Bye.
Miss Sky, please.
So just thank you. Despite the brevity, I did follow all the rules. Hiding in the place where lost things go, and of course that's a quote from the song from the New Mary Poppins. I keep your light in a lantern box, a moonstone star of luster. And in those pleated winters that gather snow-fleeced wear, like opal salts and diamond hearts, corroding the underbelly of solid structure. I remember that standing post where amber reeds are strong, where tethered tassels of warmth knot themselves to crescent smiles, and peppermint cocoa cups curl a sugar milk steam, the smell of December memory parcels sent from the place where lost things go. And home.
Place where lost things go. It makes you pause and think for a minute there. Hiding in the place where lost things go. I like that it's the title and that you wrapped it up with that as well. But in the beginning there, I keep your light in a lantern box, a moonstone star of luster. And in those pleated winters that gather snow fleece wear. I like that thought. There's a charming, endearing thought of being tucked into that box. Even though it's probably pretty hot in there, it just feels endearing. I remember that standing post where amber reed are strung. That's a good visual too for the light that's glowing in there, and the fibers being called a reed is kind of clever. I don't want to steal too many lines, but the smell of December. I love the smell of December when it snows because it smells so crisp and clean, and then you have the fact that the snow has buffered the ground, and it's like the best acoustic system you got when nature splashes snow everywhere, and there's this smell and feel in the air during that time, and that's where you took me with your brevity. I think you did a great job, and I like the reference to Mary Poppins down there. The places where lost things go. Awesome. Let me get a comment from AP, please.
Yeah, it's a really sort of wistful piece, I think, style. I sort of thought about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I don't know why, because it was just the sort of nature of the words that you used and that real sort of childhood longing that came through. And it just had a really interesting feel to it. It was really, really cleverly written.
Awesome comment. And how about I get a comment from Stephen, please?
Yeah, I like this too. I do like the Pete said, some of the imagery in here just really is very sweet, almost cavity causing, like the peppermint cocoa cups, curl of sugar milk steam. I like that a lot. But to me, the piece to me spoke of remembering someone special who has passed away. And I also want to say, although this piece didn't rhyme, its flow made it seem as though it did. I thought this was an excellent write, Sky.
Thank you, and thank you, AP, and thank you, Stephen. And yes, Stephen, that is what the poem is about. Thank you.
And Sky, I'm going to have Kay give the last comment before she reads, but do you want to push your show before I do that?
Art show.
Yes. Tomorrow night I'm on a team of voices at 8 p.m. down the tube with really random stuff. We're doing Angor Wat. We're doing the Flatulence prompt. And the oxygen in the ocean that the plankton create. So go into the Sky Home Study Program, watch the videos, write wherever you want, fiction or reality. I'm also on Saturday at Poetic Slice of Life and at 8 p.m. And it's Who's the Best Santa? You have to reserve your prompt, so please do so. And if you have one reserved, I look forward to seeing who you think the best Santa is. Thank you.
Awesome. Do I have one reserved?
You do, yes.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'll find that.
I forgot.
Now, Miss Kay, will you please comment for Sky and then take us away with yours?
Well, yeah, I like the lines, moonstone star of luster and peppermint cocoa cups, curl a sugar milk steam, the smell of December, memory parcels, that from a place where lost things go. Those are awesome lines. It adds their beauty with a touch of sadness as to where those things go, while also bringing in nostalgia that shines and add in the look of Christmas, December, and the merriment. It's an awesome share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Kay, yours is on the board.
Okay. I picked the picture of the cardinals because that instantly jumped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I call us fundamentals of principles, cinnabars, significance. Silvery champagne smoke, sugar the air, and twirls of freckled pirouettes. Of peppermint dreams, lit in the mind of faces and diamond days. Snowflakes and delicate sneakers of stars landing upon earth. Moonstones, the ruby messengers, twixt early morning dawn, cooing their florid, high-colored song.
glittering and talc-powdered glints of turquoise, as a reminder of gold and frost, whispers its silvern of temperance. Buttoned in crisp, perforated days, are lockets of sea, wheelbarrow and safflower charms. When cardinals are near, angels are not too far, and flutes of mantlet jeweled songs and poems.
I like the title, Fundamentals of Principle, Cinnabar's Significance. Ooh, what a mouthful. And then you start right off hitting us with colorful images, silvery champagne smoke sugars the air in twirls of freckled pirouettes as peppermint dreams, linen the mind of faces in diamond days, all kinds of images flowing through there. And I want to skip down all the way to the last one. Buttoned in crisp, perforated days are lockets of seeds, wheel, barrowing, sapphire charms when cardinals are near. Angels are not too far and flutes of mantle jeweled songs. I like the idea of the angels not being too far behind those cardinals. I know that there are many symbols of visits in cultures, and one of them is when cardinals visit. And, you know, I have this corny thing I do with the pair outside that come in the winter for something to eat, and I talk to them as if, you know, they're people, and send a message with them and call me crazy, I don't care. Or what's this expression, you know, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And that's what that's where that took me there. Something about those cardinals just hit me really hard. So I very much enjoyed this, and I look forward to a little more cold weather, and they'll be back at the tree stoop out back. So something to look forward to. Great share.
Yes. Thank you.
AP, what did you think?
It's lovely. It's a lovely image, and it's a beautiful use of colours. The silver champagne smoke sugars the air is a beautiful way to start with that sense of frost coming off new snow, and the use of the words, whether they're twixt early morning dawn or whether it's glimpse of turquoise, it's quite elegantly and eloquently picks up the colours and that sense of winter in the foliage there. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay while I grab yours?
Yeah, I told you my comment that I really am loving the wintry imagery in this. But I, of course, really, really love the description of the cardinals. Yeah. You and I both believe them, messengers from the other side. Yes. And I think that your words express that beautifully.
Thank you.
It's very, very, very well done.
Absolutely. Awesome picture, I believe, too. And Stephen, hold on one second. Hatter, how long were you back? Did you happen to hear Kay?
Did you unmute me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. No, I wasn't able to.
Okay, I thought you just got there. I just wanted to make sure. So, Stephen, will you please read your poem for us?
Yeah, the picture that I chose, it made me think of a Thomas Kincaid. It definitely had a Thomas Kincaid look to it. So it inspired me. Every time I write to Thomas Kincaid, I write about family, so this is no different.
Yeah.
Which is basically about my mother's parents' house on Christmas Day when I was young. And I call this, "And Mom and Dad Could Hardly Wait for School to Start Again." Through picture-windowed views of ivory snow-covered yard, ancient evergreen arms reach out the roundabout road afar. Emerald tree spruced up, cornered by living room laughter. Silver tinseled needles, colored lights blinking after. Gold orbs and ruby ovals, peppermint canes hung from branches, star twinkling at the top, ornaments with special matches. Four depicts nativity scene. Three show journey of kings. Other a tiny manger. Childhood smiles these did bring. Table strewn within the room, couch dining holiday pleasure. Gifts await with scissor curled ribbons and promises of holding treasure. Glazed ham won for kith and kin, scallop potato for trays, baked bean banter over din, flanneled uncle delayed. Pumpkin pie and coffee kisses before exiting to crisp winter winds. Always the last stop on Christmas Day. Heart-rending memories, bringing teardrops and grins. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, Stephen, I think you just brought some teardrops and grins yourself, because the baked beans took me right to my father, the baked bean banter over din. But you think about the baked bean banter later when you're around my dad. He wasn't much for vegetables, but he ate corn and baked beans. If it was green, my dad was that little boy who stuffed the peas up his nose and then blew them out later so that he could leave the dinner table. Anyway, so you just made me giggle and took me to that journey right there. Emerald trees spruced up, cornered by the living room, laughter, silver tinseled needles, colored lights blinking after. The scene that you painted was charming and endearing, and it's just so filled with memories and tradition, and those baked beans are still, I'm still trying not to grin. It's amazing. I never realized how much baked beans were part of life until that banter hit your table. This is really, really awesome. I enjoyed it very much. And another 10, just keep belting them bad boys out. Fantastic poem. And before I get another one, let me answer 704. Hello?
Deb, don't tell me you forgot your twin's number.
I didn't. I just wanted to hear your voice. I was like, is that her? Is that her? My twin is here.
I'm here. It's so good to be here.
I'm glad you're here, and it's wonderful to hear your voice. And,
thank you.
Stephen and Kay have been on the radio all night, so I want to get them out of here. Now, did you happen to hear Stephen read?
I did. I heard Kay's too. Kay, it was absolutely beautiful, as always. And Stephen, I'm so delighted to comment on your poem that I sit here and listen to, because, man, I've been away for too long. It's like you have grown. I mean, grown. You always had a way of conveying emotion to us and to tell us your stories and your life and just that down-home feeling. But what you have done, what you have grown to do, is to weave that emotion with the most amazing imagery. I am so blown away. And you know how I feel about imagery. I could pick out so many examples, but I like how you're putting your words together now, too, like through picture windowed views. That is so poetic. Through pictured windowed views of ivory snow-covered yard, ancient evergreen arms reach out. I can just see that. It's what I love, and I love this, Stephen.
Thank you, Becky. Good to hear
you're very welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
Beautiful comment. And AP, what did you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't sort of reflected upon that as Becky has, but it was sort of, you know, I when I first started reading Stephen, it was sort of like reading Huey Lewis in the News. It's kind of funky, and I love their music.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's got all this depth in it. It's like, you know, we've gone from Huey Lewis in the News to Bob Dylan in the space of 12 months while we've been watching. It's really interesting. That's the sort of change, because the words are there and they're still there and the meaning is still there, but they convey a real emotion and they take you to a place. And that's what poets do.
Yeah.
Thank you, AP. Much appreciated.
Awesome comment. Now, Stephen, would you like to fill us in on what's going on over at your group, Poetic Slice, for the week?
Sure. So the next show over at Poetic Slice is Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the Poetic Inklings. And we have different kinds of Christmas parties that you can write to that Kay found, anywhere from cookie exchanges, ugly sweater parties, Scrooge parties, tree decking parties, that kind of stuff. Take a look at the pictures and see what they inspire. Thursday is our annual Christmas Movement of Sound, so we're going to listen to classic Christmas songs, learn about them, and read some poems inspired by them. And then Friday is the Christmas edition of Name That Film, so everything that has to do with Christmas. So that kind of narrows them down, doesn't it?
Yep. I think I'm up on a couple of those. I don't know if I'm done with... Yeah, I have my Wednesday already. I think I'm working on the Christmas songs right now. Looking forward to those, though. And yeah. I know you guys have been on the radio all night, so you probably want to head out. I appreciate you calling. And I will see you, I guess, tomorrow at Sky Sky Scott Show.
Yes,
sharing those farts. I know they're coming.
You should upload sound effects, Deb, if you want to. Have a good night, everybody.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, I might just do that. Night, you guys. Thank you. Love and respect. Okay, so my wonderful, beautiful twin, I have missed hearing you read so much.
Well, I guess you got me. Life kind of got the best of me.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how you enchanted this picture of what could be loose. So, and it's a front page pick. Oh, I'm so excited. That's what sweet meant. That's terrific.
That was really
okay.
Wonderful.
Congratulations on that.
Thank
Take
you.
Take us away.
So, yes, of course, this picture just floored me because I had just lost my Lucy a few months before now and was like the most abysmal gap in my life that I've ever experienced. And she looked just like this picture. So it wasn't hard to think about her and write about Lucy Snow, and this is all pretty much true. Lucy Snow. Lucy loved winter. Her coat of milk chocolate sable, more suited for table-knit weather. Big brown hound and cool down after August heat waves and autumn's amber rays. Those dog-eat-dust days left her panting, so she waited, her curve of chin planted atop the windowsill. When silver-white rain spun into silky flurries, whiskered nose bristling, as if she smelled the spilling snow through the thick glass window, that crisp scent of copper and mint, evergreen and spice with a hint of corduroy linen. I smell it within, a diamond-sharp memory that stuns me, like that breath-sapping slap of air when I cracked the back door and she spanned the porch steps in a solitary leap, landing a puppy again, furry brown bullet sprinting through spindrift. Lop-eared snowblower with deer legs and smoky elderberry eyes. Now the days grow shorter, nights and people grow colder. My lap stands abandoned, enfold her while I sit by the window, waiting for the moonstone glow of Lucy's snow. End poem.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Your heart is in there. Your love for her is in there. I love that you call it Lucy Snow. And I can even envision that leap when you open the door as no matter how old she got, something in that snow brought that puppy back, and it was just like rejuvenation. I'm born again. Give me that snow. The days grow shorter, nights and people grow colder. My lap stands abandoned, but my thoughts enfolder while I sit by the window waiting for the morning stone glow of Lucy's snow. Has it snowed yet this year, Beck?
Not so far, but we've had an unusually cold weather, so I'm hopeful we might get some snow. You know, I truly am sitting there waiting for the snow.
That's why I asked.
I'm hopeful. Yeah.
Because I think if you go outside and stick out your tongue and taste a little and let it touch your skin that you'll feel her there, and I think that's awesome. And congratulations again on that front page pick.
Yeah. What a wonderful poem to share with other people. So thank you, Sweet Pea, for that.
And what an amazing job you did bringing that piece of art to life and adding a credence by sharing Lucy's story in there. I missed you so much. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Thank you, Dad.
Let me get you some comments.
Thank you very much. Well, she literally did leap out that back door. It was hilarious. She covered the back porch in about 5 porch steps. We didn't even touch any of them. And just, you know, one big leap out the back door into the snow. And strangely, it wasn't snowing that day, but it was cold. And she had leapt out the back door and went running down the driveway and ran around like a crazy dog. And it was that night that she died. So it's just so strange. It's like she had a burst of that last energy. And I knew that she had cancer. And of course, I knew that she was dying, but she had been pretty energetic. But she ran and ran. And so I wonder, you know, if she just ran herself out. I don't know. But so a lot of that went into this poem. So I appreciate you giving me that picture.
I that's why I was like, I have to put this up. I have to send it to Becky. Even if you can't call, you have to have this photo. But I'm really glad you called. And I remember, like I had Casino, and he, that looks like him in the photo as well. And I can remember the first winter when he wasn't there. And his crazy figure eight running like a maniac, messing up the whole beautiful white snow in the backyard, just stayed a flat surface. And it's kind of, So I love Lucy Snow.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's good to remember.
And Hatter, what did you think?
Hatter, hello.
Hi, Becky.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm really good. Good to hear your voice.
No, I agree with that. Calling it Lucy Snow was just precious in itself. The description of the animal, was she a Chesapeake?
I'm sorry, what?
Was she a Chesapeake?
She is a chocolate lab, but she looks a lot like a Chesapeake. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the way you just described it with the leap in the snow, just spot on. Beautifully done. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Adam.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Becky and then read us your poem?
Hi, Becky.
Yeah, hello, Becky. Just some lovely words, and they're so carefully chosen. I love lop-eared snowblower with deer legs and smoky elderberry eyes, because it, you know, you wouldn't think to use half. I wouldn't use to think to use half those words to describe a dog, but it just sort of fits so beautifully well with the way that the poem has come together, and you just get a really clear image of this. You know, pet and what it means. And it's just a really sweet poem.
Thank you, AP. All I had to do was close my eyes, you know, and see her, and it just kind of fell in place. But thank you all.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you all for lovely comments.
So, Deb, this is my one. This is From the Hills. And it goes a little bit like this. High and hidden across swept mountain valleys, a single drop falls slowly on frozen still ground. Time of gathering as a pool among rallies by this grey ridge place are no longer bound. And as smoke curls above from the snowy hill's toe, the cloud is salt over a sapphire sky gauge. Waters decide to race towards the river below, scurrying from their enemy, the sun and its rage. So amble upon the small stream soon to be pointed, while heat glistens off that diamond above. They hurry so to reach their destination anointed, as rays strengthen with their push and their shove. Many of the waterways soon dry, then pitted, lost to lines beaten by coarse amber power. Yet the drops continue a journey quick-witted, a creek building in depth will seldom cower. Jostled and harried over rocks to spray tumble, sides of their causeway and rocks firm affixed, thick and deep, near a wide river left to rumble, wide torrent joins, with flat water lie mixed. Joy bubbles as they form this mighty force, yet still do shallows and billabongs trail off mains. The mile we may choose to move away from our source, flow both opportunities with fierce rain. In
pop. Wow. You took us on a journey and gave us an entire story here. I like high and hidden across swept mountain valleys, a single drop falls slowly on frozen still ground. I like the lyrical feel and the visuals there. In the middle, so amble upon a small stream soon too pointed while heat glistens up the diamond above, then hurry so to reach their destination anointed as rays strengthen with their push and their shove. I there's something in there before that push and shove, the destination anointed. I kind of like the thought of that destination. Jostled and harried over rocks to spray tumble, sides of their causeways and rocks firm and fixed. It's really, really lyrical, and I'm thinking that, man, you didn't have the poem all that long for you to have so many stanzas packed with this awesome lyrical cadence here. So, like, you're showing off a little again. Joy bubbles as they form the mighty force. I like that, joy bubbles. And where did that tree go? Or was it a tree? Something I didn't recognize. Oh, and Billabong's Trail? Billabong's Trail.
Yes.
Is that a tree?
So billabongs, what a billabong is. No. What a billabong is, when the rivers occasionally get really high in Australia, they go into little flood canals off the side, and they're called billabongs. And so they only get refreshed every year or two. And so what happens is that the flooding waters go into the billabong, and then the billabong sort of dries over time, and there's nothing left. So they're sort of runoffs that go dry.
How cool. It's silly, but I really like the word.
It's a great
I don't know
word.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's a cool word. But the whole poem is visual, and like I said, it took us on an amazing journey. And I like the fact that your descriptions, like causeway, not too many people use that phrase. So you bring us on a journey that is quite original from others that are shared because of the words like billabong and stuff like that. So I find that really cool and fun. And again, amazingly lyrical piece tonight.
Thanks, Tim.
Becky, would you like to comment for AP?
I would love to. So, AP, in my mind, your poetry is as signature to you, to your voice, as any other writer on AP. And that is a good thing. I would give my left arm, not my right arm because I write with it, but I'd give my left arm to have a style that's so distinct that people go, that's Becky Friend. So absolutely wonderful. But it's not just that it's such a distinct style. It's that you use the elements of poetry. You use the cadence and the rhyme and the beauty and weaving of words so well. Like, so amble upon a small stream, soon to pointed white heat glistens off that diamond above. I mean, I can picture that. But it's written so uniquely. I don't know if I'm expressing myself very well. I hope you people understand what I'm trying to say about the uniqueness of AP's writing. It's magnificent, and I always appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Becky.
You're welcome.
Aww. And Hatter, we comment for AP.
Yeah, I've been saying that for years, Becky, the way he writes. I'm glad somebody else sees it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the description at the beginning of the torrent river, the torrents of the river, I've seen that firsthand where the water is rushing by so fast, it's actually like 10 feet higher than you are, taller than you are standing on the side of the side. It's just rushing. And he did a good job with the billabongs. Made me smile also. Is it still flooding down there? Still flooding?
No. It's got a bit quieter. I actually went, this was me trying to do a sort of Man from Snowy River, except with rain and sun, not with horses and the chasing pack. So that was where I started.
Came out gorgeous. Okay. Well, you know what? It's just the four of us, and there's just a couple of poems. So, Hatter, will you read for us?
Okay. This is a rush job. get it. There we... No, oh, that's AP's. God darn it. There it is. Ice Road Camping. I went and picked what was left of the pictures. It was like this. Rings formed like crop circle art. Champagne heaters fishing for carp. Permits hung by the campfire with care. Ropes are strung for our wet underwear. Two people sleeping were before they were eating. And give me some privacy, please. I am in need of some space for the air to escape. Please, I don't want to have to sneeze. Folding cork bobbers with brass ruby rings, silver mined gold stars that enter my dreams. Pulling our home, we're never alone. It's a complete state of mind. We're living the dreams and for what it now seems to be the best way of killing the time.
Pulling our home, we're never alone. It's a complete state of mind. We're living the dream. What it now seems to be the best way of killing the time. I spent a summer in a tent, and I find that, you know, the little bit of luxury that you get from a camper is much better. But the last trip I made to Disney, it was in a camper, and it's kind of fun. You have this little home on wheels, and you can pop around the world. So it is kind of living the dream. You can see stuff, and you're out there with nature. And I thought that this was a really fun one. Now, I do have to admit that I've never done it in the snow, icy. Like, I'm not trying to drag a camper behind me on icy roads and stuff. So the ice part you can sort of keep. But I really like sit me there by the fire and give me a marshmallow, and I'll make some s'mores and have a good old time. So I think that this was a very endearing brevity, and I enjoyed it very much. AP, what did you think?
Oh, it's got some really cute lines. I love rings formed like crop circle art. I think that's wonderful. And I love the folding cork bobbers with brass ruby rings. There's just Hatter just comes up with gold, and it just sort of sparkles with him.
Thank you, JP.
Awesome comment. Mm-hmm. And Becky, will you comment? Excuse me, while I get Heavenly Angels poem.
Okay. So, Hatter, your writing is also so unique in your way of writing humor. I don't write humor a lot or well, but I give it a shot once in a while, and I admire it so much. But it's not just the humor. It's the cleverness. You know, humor is one thing, cleverness is another, and it's just so freaking clever. So many wonderful lines. Two people sleeping where before they were eating. So I like the way it sounds kind of like stockings hung by the chimney with care, you know, hung by the campfire with care. That's so wonderful. Pulling our home, we're never alone. So as someone who loves camping but also loves solitude, I'm a real loner. I can only camp under certain situations. So you captured that mixture of wanting to be out there camping and having to deal with the closeness, the proximity of another person. So it's just wonderful. I love this, Hatter.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I did put angels on the board, if you will do us the honor.
I will. Okay, so this is our heavenly angel called Please, Mr. Santa. Dear Mr. Santa Claus, one wish I ask of you. Leave no presents under the tree, just the love that is so true. The landscape covered in vanilla sugar snow, glistening under the street lamps like diamonds all aglow. Yes, Mr. Santa, if I had only one wish Christmas Eve, I'd wish for the only one that I adore. And if this one wish I could receive, I'd never want for any more. Maybe share a ride in a sleigh decorated in ruby and emerald green, gliding along the landscape, quilted from corner to corner with the Merry Christmas theme. I long for tender touches, the one thing on my list. Please, Mr. Santa, leave him under the mistletoe to claim my holiday gifts. Silver bells are ringing, the Christmas star is shining bright. Oh, how I long for my true love to share this holy night. The usually merry message they give to those around just fills my heart with longing and feelings so profound. Golden jingle bells proclaim loud and clear the message of hope, peace, and love to those we hold dear. Oh, please, Mr. Santa, let me find him under my tree. The idea of a perfect Christmas is for him to share this time with me, spending Christmas together alone, celebrating this joyous time, wrapped in our own circle of love, sitting by the fire, drinking peppermint tea, singing carols, line for line. I don't know how to make it more clear, dear Santa. He is the one gift I desire the most, you see. Wrapped in a garnet velvet bow, yes, this would be the perfect gift for me. In poem.
Awesome read. Thank you, Becky.
Thanks.
There's always, you always wind up feeling good when you get done reading a poem for Heavenly Angel. She always puts her heart and soul into it, and you can feel it when you're her reader. I like her title, Please, Mr. Santa. And let me see, where's that one? Yes, Mr. Santa, if I had only one wish Christmas Eve, I'd wish for the only one that I adore. And if this one wish, I, yeah. But if this one wish I could receive, I'd never want for any more. And it made me smile because can you remember how many times you've wished for something and you promised in your little thoughts to Santa, if you bring me this, I'll never ask. Well, that only lasted until next Christmas. So that made me smile. Because, you couldn't help yourself. You got to make that bargain. If you just bring me that whatever, fill in the blank, I'll never want for anything again until next Christmas. please, Mr. Santa, let me find him under my tree. My idea of a perfect Christmas is for him to share his time with me. And then there's the romance that we're used to hearing when we have poetry from Heavenly Angel. I think that she did a beautiful, enchanting job of bringing a photo of a sleigh to life and giving it such an in-depth story filled with emotion. Becky, you read Doll. What did you think?
So I'm seeming to be calling up people's unique qualities tonight, and with Heavenly Angel, we always expect the beauty of romance. She lifts our spirits with love. I don't write love poems. So it's such a pleasure to read one and just let myself go in that moment, in her words and her lovely images and sweet feelings of romance and asking Santa for that one true love. I mean, haven't we all done that? So it always lifts me, from a darker place where I tend to run. And so I appreciate that, Angel. A pleasure to read for you tonight.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
I was following and it, the first time she says him, I'm trying to guess what him is. So I'm following it through. She mentions it a couple more times. But at the end, it's got to be a puppy, right?
Well, it could be. Anything to love, yeah.
And our Hallmark card.
Yeah.
Hallmark. There's an excellent tribute to the poem. And AP, would you please comment for Angel and then read the next poem for me?
Sure. It was just the sort of building of that scene so that you could sort of, it was almost like somebody was a carpenter and they were putting up each wall in the house so you could actually see what was there and the feel that was there, so that by the time the poem finished, you felt like you were in that room and surrounded by that atmosphere and that love that was there. So I thought it was really a very cute poem.
Great comments, everyone. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm on Footsteps by Iris 3, Deb,
if I'm
reading the board correctly. And that goes, of course, a little bit like this. Night sees a fleecy missile of silver snow sprinkling, draping the land's bubbling plains in soft cream blanket and woven by winter's knitting needles. It is early morning when this thick quilt scintillates with a blinding opal glint, and through the pines I can elope with amber sunlight, dancing on my shoulders as it tugs on my jacket sleeves and muffler, beckoning me to step faster while I am breathless but smiling. The ivory eiderdown seems to be untouched, for I rose early to catch this velvet carpet in its sugary smoothness. No footsteps have passed this slope, just my own. This solitude is rewarding, for in this cushioned cove, snow hugs me with vanilla arms, reminding me how I am special too. The trail of footsteps marks how some paths in life are travelled up alone. But in the end, I am distinguished at the lane's top, and content, sigh escapes my lips. I glide in a reverie, free as an albatross, sunning over the sea, breeze dallying, as companion spruce and deodar shake their green hair, dusting off snow-flecked flecks. It is this moment when I taste corn-silk liberty while befriending the landscape which says how it loves to be beside me and firmly asserts that I am unique. It is me that I should celebrate, with snow patting my each step. End poem.
Beautiful read, thank you. And if you want, you can comment first, because you might need to eat lunch or some sort of thing.
Yes, no, it's a good thing. Oh, look, it's a lovely traveling poem, and it's a poem about the cold. It's a poem about being on your own, but being with the moment and being with the place that you love and being with yourself, you know, in solitude but in company. And I thought it was lovely that.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And I appreciate you reading and hanging out for so long. But I also understand that you're very busy, and I appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon.
You will. Thanks,
cool.
Steph. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks,
lovely to see you again, Becky.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk soon, everybody. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Heather, will you comment on this poem for me, please?
Yeah, she's got a knack. She's got a deep well she pulls her words out of. I love this. It is this moment when I taste corn-silk liberty while befriending the landscape, which says how it loves to be beside me and firmly asserts that I am unique. This is well constructed. I mean, I think it's going on the list.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Becky, will you comment, please?
Yes. So, Iris, if you're listening later, I haven't read your poetry before, but I happened to see a poem of yours in Kevin's latest contest. You were, like, right behind me. So I was able to read one before I read this one. And, you know, I'm really impressed with her ability to write a very sophisticated poem. It's very cerebral. She describes in a way that, I don't know, very mature and sophisticated, such as, I am distinguished at the lane's top, and content sigh escapes my lips. There's something classic about that. Shakespearean, I'm not sure what. I glide in a reverie, free as an albatross, sunning over the sea. I mean, there's so much here. I would love to take it and just put it out and just spell out everything that I love. But I think what I love the best is how she captured the prompt. There's just something beautiful about walking on snow that nobody else has walked on. Wow. It makes you believe you're special. That's exactly what she is saying in this poem. And I wanted to point that out. You know, that she's talking about the specialness of the individuality in each step that she takes. Oh, this is really a wonderful poem, Iris. So hope to read more.
That was an amazing comment.
Thank
you. You had mentioned it not being familiar with Iris.
Mm-hmm.
She's somewhat new. She's getting to be old hat at sharing with us now, but I too am quite impressed with her poetry, and I hope that she continues to keep sharing with us, because her point of view is quite beautiful. Keep them coming, Iris.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the poem very much. And now, what I have left, I have three recordings, and I'm saving crystals in case she's able to call. Otherwise, I guess I will read that one out. So if you guys, I'll just do them in order. If you guys click on Phil the Poet, I will push his recording. And I don't know when he started and whether it was before or after you had taken your leave, but he has the best reading voice. You're in for a treat.
Oh, wonderful.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Frozen Windmill. Icy winds fluttering the decaying sails of a frozen windmill, serrated limbs of an outstretched monument upon a hill. Let the fallen sphere of a snowflake weep for summer's loss, where charcoal remains dissolve into a memory of thick moss. Flakes of corroded copper spread like a disease, disguised as mushroom cloud-shaped trees, while the sapphire skies sob bitterly for another passing of time. Crescent moon with a dimpled face sighs at the latest rhyme. And still, the windmill stands still, trying to move its sails, frothing like a magnesium experiment as it exhales. Oh, cruel, cruel winter, why do you torment me so with your chilly breath of the Siberian east wind flow? The windmill reflects its demise in a moonstone lake, resting on the morals of a rustic toothless rake, telling tales of how the arms dance with expression, no groan under the spell of winter's deep depression. Through a thrombotic veined hope of sheer determination, the enchantment melts at the touch of pure inspiration. A light shines from inside the windmill's triangle dream, its image disappearing like a memory down a stream. End poem.
Another amazing read. Now, if you guys want to peek at the board, I added the photo that Phil wrote to, and he absolutely took that photo and took us on a journey with it. He transported us, his words, and then couple it with his voice and the way he pronounces his and stuff like that really enhanced the journey. And it's just, he is a very charming reader, and doesn't matter what I throw at him, what the prompt is, he always brings it. And I like all the stanzas, but I'll go with the windmill reflects its demise in a moonstone lake, resting on the morals of a rustic toothless rake, telling tales of how the arms danced with expression, now grown under the spell of winter's deep depression. That stanza is incredible. The whole thing is, but I don't know why, I just resting on the morals of a rustic toothless rake, that broken rake that thrown away a long time ago because it has nothing to rake with, and I could almost see it. It was a great share, Phil, and I appreciate you for writing and recording for me every Monday. You're awesome. Becky, what did you think?
Well, you're right. His voice certainly lends a resonance and a beauty to every word. Oh, but I wish I had my little thin southern voice. Doesn't have that deep ringing quality that I love just so much. It almost puts a whole nother dimension into the poetry. But beyond that, you know, I was speaking of classical feel earlier. His poetry is classical. I mean, it rings of the classical poets with the romanticism.
in the imagery. And not only does he weave a wonderful tale, but he teaches a lesson. You know, there's a moral to this poem. Speaking of human determination and the light, you know, that remains. So, wow, you know, kudos, Phil. You really kind of put everything together into a really nice verse. Enjoyed this tonight.
Awesome comment, Beck. And before I get Hatter to comment, I just want to say on a side note, I, for one, Miss Becky, find your voice to be very sweet and charming, and the Southern charm is something that I find myself jealous of. So there.
Thanks. Yeah, sweet. You're sweet. There's just not that really that depth, you know, resonance that I love. So maybe
I'll
work on
that. Well, if we all sounded the same, though, it would be mighty boring. But seriously, you just have the sweetest, calmest, Southern charm, that the profession you chose was perfect for your name and your voice. But Hatter, what do you think of Phil's poem?
I love the way he re-mentions the windmill. He starts off with icy winds fluttering the decaying sails of the frozen windmill. And then a couple further down, he starts again. And still the windmill stands, still trying to move its sails, puffing like a magnesium experiment as it exhales. That's clever. Usually, unless it's repeated first and last, subjects don't tend to be repeated, but this is beautifully done.
Awesome comment. Thank you both. And if you will click on Gerald's poem, I will push play for him as well. Can't wait to see where he took this. You never know what to expect from Gerald, but it's always fantastic. Here we go.
Here we go.
Innocence, written in red by Gerald Green. She isn't aware of her beauty, so never acts stuck up or snooty. No matter the place, she demonstrates grace, while some are inspired by her booty. In winter, a corduroy jumper enhances what men like about her. A curve here and there with platinum hair that makes me both quiver and shiver. Her diamonds are only distraction, or should I say even detraction, with oval-shaped eyes revealing surprise as innocence drives her reaction. On crisp days like this, she looks better, while wearing long pants and a sweater, in flannel or silk, complexion like milk. My thoughts are obsessive about her. No matter the weather or setting, her manner is always besetting, like gold to a king or emerald ring that ends with torment and besotting. Someday I am sure she'll discover how everyone feels about her, and then understand her influence grand, involving more gifts from each lover. She seldom looks in my direction, so I must move fast and take action. I'll think of a scheme involving ice cream and promise a castle or mansion. And when we are living together, my outlook will only get better. I'll increase my wealth while keeping good health, and then we will live long and prosper. End poem.
Wow. What an incredible use of a limerick chain form-ish. I think this
is
from the very get-go, she demonstrates grace while some are inspired by her booty. So anyone who is not actually seeing this was probably thinking right about there, oh my, you know, not realizing that there's a stunning prize-winning horse on the art. But I just, it's so cool. In winter, a corduroy jumper enhances what men like about her. A curve here and there with platinum hair that makes me both quiver and shiver. So all the way along, you got this slight little tease under there, and he might be talking about this gorgeous platinum blonde, and he is, just not the expect gorgeous platinum blonde. And let me see, she seldom looks my direction, so I must move fast and take action. I think of a scheme involving ice cream and promise a castle or mansion. again, you just, I would not look at this photo and expect to hear the poem with ice cream and being inspired by Booty and the direction he took it in, but he always does it with finesse. His wit is always oozing off the page, and it's never, ever, ever same old, which is impressive as often as Gerald writes for me, and then he records on top of it, and I am very much appreciative. Thank you, Gerald. You did it again. Never cease. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, the limerick was great. It was his little bit of Seussian, little Dr. Seuss flavor in it. Yeah, I love the ice cream. I think I'll think of a scheme involving ice cream. Just the simple lines like that can really add to a piece. This is well done.
Awesome comment. And my twin, what did you think?
So I do remember Gerald's poetry quite clearly, and I'm just amazed at the transformation. This poem is adorable, and who would have ever thought I'd call the poems of Gerald adorable? But it is. It's so whimsical and delightful, and what he did with rhyme is just wonderful. It flows like a river. You know, there's not a hitch anywhere. The rhythm just keeps up. And one thing that caught my eye is that he says that in his author's notes, he clicked innocence. So innocence is the theme of this poem. And once I saw that, I read it through again, I thought, well, yes, it is. He's painting a picture of beauty and innocence so perfectly and whimsically, and it's almost like a something from the Grimm's fairy tales or something, but really beautiful. Gerald, I love seeing this side of you.
Awesome comment. Awesome. Oh, he's brought some doozies, hon. We've been on journeys where we were like, wait, what? Did he say that? I think
dark
journey. Yeah, he has all the wit that he's been oozing all over the place, and we've been having a lot of fun, and we've been trying to get him to come hang out with us, but he goes to bed a little earlier than we do, but he's wonderful. I'm a fan. Actually, me, Hatter, and he are big fans. We're the ones torturing him to come on a show with us. So that was brilliant. Absolutely. Okay, so we have a poem that Mr. JCA sent for us, and he is the one half of the kingdom of the king and queen over at El Nostro Regno, and before I play his sound clip, I thought he had his board up for the next one. I heard him talking about his next show being about X's. So it ought to be an interesting show, and I believe it might be on Thursday, but when I have better details, we'll push it tomorrow for him. Sorry, Jay, I don't see your topic board anywhere. In the meantime, if we click on his poem, he sent us a recording, I will push play. And thank you, Jay. Here we go.
Badlands by JCA. Padded curve of the snowdrifts sail neath the chalk clouds in the turquoise sky. Faces glued in the peppermint frost, huddled in the crescent pose. No cotton throat, no breath in tow. Eyes sealed next to the smoke-stained skin. Veined line twists on wrinkled flesh. Pearl ice crystals trim the ring. her mother's moonstone cameo brooch. Last circle around the velvet neck, my lips perforated with fluted flits. Boy of our blood, cushioned in the arms, titanium look crumbled all sides in the rectangle prairie schooner. Winter collapsed on us. Ground will thaw in spring. Cemetery is frozen.
Wow. Damn, Jay, I've got me speechless for a minute here. I'm thinking, I mean, we're looking at a picture where you can barely tell that the wagon, old wood wagon, is there in the snow. And he turned around and gave this like a history, gave us a reason for that to be there. Padded curve of the snow drifts sailed neath the chalk clouds and the turquoise. So he sets us up there. Oh, and I have to say, I love the fact that he called it peppermint frost. Glued in the peppermint frost, huddled in the crescent pose. And I promise not to steal all the lines. But I do want to point out that he had the line, her mother's moonstone cameo brooch. I like the thought of that, it adds a term of endearment into the history to think of to think of mom and that brooch, and it also made me think of the fact that moonstone was a really popular word from the word bank. I think it made it in over half the poems tonight. I'm always fascinated with the words that get chosen the most from my word bank. That's why I got sidetracked there for a minute. But you take the words and stuff that he gave us, and then you couple it with the tone in his voice there. There was like, it was like he was aching this poem for us. I don't even know if that makes sense as I say it, aching it, but you could hear the compassion, the emotion as he read and shared this journey with us. And the ending is like, that's where I was left speechless for a moment. Winter collapsed on us. Ground will thaw in spring. Cemetery is frozen. And then you think about it, you know, under that collapse of winter, when spring falls, the cemetery is still there, and the sadness that went with it, and the loss, and the overwhelming sadness is really hitting me right now from that last stanza there. Powerful share, Jay, and you really, really gave a story to this photo. I wondered where you would take it. Badlands. Impressive thought for a title, too. Appreciate it. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I believe he's talking about the reality of wintertime back in the day. Anybody that died in the wintertime could only be buried in the spring. I believe that's where that last line hits on.
Yeah, it's one of those ones there where you can take it in so many directions. Like even when the ground falls, eventually those Easter flowers will pop out, but the cemetery's frozen. There's just something that strikes me so, well, duh, but very final by that cemetery. And then with it being frozen too, it's like a cemetery is a sad enough thought, but frozen. Great comment,
Hatter.
Becky, what did you think?
Well, it's so interesting tonight to come back and see how voices have changed and
evolved and grown, and the same is true with JCA. He's such a versatile writer. That's the thing that always jumps in my mind about Jay. He can write about so many different things, and he'll take you by surprise. And this is such a haunting poem. It has a sensual quality to it. Such wonderful imagery. Oh, love. Winter collapsed on us. Oh, my God. That is a brilliant line. Jay, yeah, this is dark and haunting, and just a tribute to that colder side of winter. But beautiful.
Awesome comment. Fantastic. Becky, did I tell you how good it is to hear you tonight? I think I might have, but I'm telling you again anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Good. I'm glad. And I am going to read us out with a poem sent in by my little sister, Crystal Hope. And I appreciate the poem. And if you guys click on it, I will read Broken and Belittled by Crystal Hope. And here we go. Cold winds rattled against my face like peppermint sticks stabbing my back. I glimmered like crystal quartz, but I was just your dusty knick-knack. A prism dripping rainbow on the lost and broken shadows. A snowflake on the tongue of the cratered moons of the alone. But the velvet blanket of time cannot change the crisp charcoal of a bleeding heart who is slowly falling apart. Gold angel wing withers as the remarks of the brittle and icicle of crumbles under the pressure of being belittled. End poem. Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. We didn't see sometimes when Crystal takes us into some sadness, she brings us back to the hope. But I think in this one, the hope started and we ended with the sadness, and there was no full circle. And now I need to check on Crystal. Wow. Cold winds rattle against my face like peppermint stabbing my back. I glimmered like a crystal quartz, but I was just your dusty knick-knack. Oh, this is breaking my heart. Very, very powerful. And, I mean, the picture is gorgeous. It's periwinkle lighting and a beautiful crystal of ice. And I figured we'd have some kind of liftoff. And instead, like, I just want to reach through and give her a hug. But that's the power of her pen. And everything's probably perfectly fine. She just penned a masterpiece. And if not, Crystal, you're not anybody's knick-knack. And just hold your head up and believe it. You're special, and we all know it. Becky, what'd you think?
Yeah, so again, I see a poet delving into a side that maybe they're not as accustomed to or frequently writing about. Crystal always lifts me. I mean, her poems are like Crystal Hope. But not always. I mean, Crystal's talked to us about her life, and we know that there are shadows there, and she pulls those shadows out once in a while. I find it just so amazing that she went from that picture to this story. So that is wonderful in itself, that she was inspired to tell the story of broken hope. and all the dark images that are somehow created, like you said, Deb, out of brightness. So that's a real skill, to talk about glimmering and crystal and quartz, but becoming a dusty knick-knack. You know, the contrast there is stunning and brilliant. So I love this crystal. I love seeing this darker, more emotional side of you. You know, I've just been away too long. You people are just growing and changing by leaps and bounds. I think she ties it all up at the end when she talks about the whole essence of this is the pain, the horrible feeling of being belittled. And, yes, I have to agree. There's just about nothing worse than that. So you really captured it, Crystal, and surprised the heck out of me. I love it.
Fabulous. Hutter, will you comment for Crystal?
Yeah, Crystal, she's back and she remembers. She can write that sorrow. The ending line is just killer.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Angel, yeah, Gold Angel winged the remarks of the brittle, an icicle of silver crumbles under the pressure of being belittled.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful path all the way around. So Crystal is doing her once a month show Wednesday night at 9. And
hey,
her topic, she has a dozen really awesome Christmas holiday photos to choose from. And she also has a word bank of 30 words, and she needs you to use at least 12 of those words. So there are 12 photos, and you must use 12 word bank words, and then you can join Crystal Wednesday night at 9, and I'll see you there. And just a quick reminder that tomorrow is Sky's show. She goes live at 8 p.m., and her prompt choices are the Lost City of Angkor Wat, Let's Talk Farts. Yes, I said farts. Or, or Photoplankton Behind the Oxygen Scenes. And I find that quite fascinating. But this was a topic that when Sky put it on the board, less than 30 seconds later, Stephen had a poem on the board.
Oh my goodness.
Let's see what kind of stinky poetry happens tomorrow. So that's Sky on Tuesday at 8 and Crystal on Wednesday at 9. And then Thursday's open poetry with my suite at 10. So there's the next few days. And on that note, would like to say, Becky, it was wonderful to hear you, my dear. Miss you so much.
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you, guys.
So glad you called. And I want to thank my big brother, Hatter. And thank you to Sky and Sweet and Steven and Kay and AP and Heavenly Angel and Phil the Poet and Gerald Green and JCA and Crystal Hope. Amazing poetry, everyone. I enjoyed it all very much. You never cease to amaze every week. And there's some proof. Becky hasn't heard you for a little while, and she's utterly blown away. You get better every single week. And it's my honor to get to spend time with you guys. And on that note, what kind of song do you want to play us out with, Hatter?
How about Becky loves Elvis, right? We have some of Elvis.
Love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me see. I will scroll to the alphabetized new and improved studio, and I will tell you that under the name Elvis, you can choose from always on my mind. Are you lonesome tonight? Don't cry, Daddy. Help me make it through the night. I can't stop loving you. I want you, I need you, I love you. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Suspicious lines. There goes my everything. Welcome to my world. The wonder of you. You don't have to say you love me. Or don't be cruel.
Suspicious eyes. Suspicious eyes, I say.
Oh, I'm sweaty clothes.
Which one?
Suspicious eyes.
Okay. There we go.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Love and respect.
Much love.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't be?
You know what?
Thank you, Heather. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Deb.
Respect.